Let's get to our guest. Hans Goerti is with us. Hans is founder and CEO at HG Research. He joins from Singapore. Seems like there's two prongs to today's market action, Hans. One, Jay Powell basically cementing the notion that we're going to see a reduction in the magnitude of rate increases. The market, I think, was already convinced that that would happen at the December meeting. And then we have the story in China and a move in the fight against COVID that seems to have entered a new phase. Is there one that you think is more dominant today?
Well, for now, at least as far as sentiment is concerned, it is China, clearly. I mean, the Fed is more or less priced in. They have been transparent in what they're going to do. They're going to slow down the pace of rate increases. But when it comes to China, you have to watch what the narrative is. The government has been demonizing this virus for the past 2.5 or even more years and has told everybody how dangerous and how deadly and so on it is. And they cannot make a 180-degree turn, although they know it has done enormous damage to the economy, and they are now intent on reopening, but this will take time. It will take at least 6 months to change the narrative, increase the vaccination rate and so on. But we're going to see it. So China will reopen, but it's not going to happen overnight. And that is a positive, and that, of course, is now being discounted by financial markets.
Yeah, if you're investing in China at this time, you're going to need a fairly strong stomach, though, because the experience of other countries suggests it's a bumpy ride out of this.
Well, definitely, of course. I mean, this is really for aggressive investors. We have seen a sharp drop in stock prices and an equally sharp rebound. So this is going to be a slog. I mean, it's not going to go up in a straight line. There will be setbacks. Probably we're going to enter a trading range somewhere. So in order to go into China, you have to have a fairly aggressive investment mindset.
Hans, does this necessarily mean the shift in COVID policy? Does it necessarily mean that there is going to be less in the way of accommodation coming from kind of the traditional sources like the PBOC?
Yes, that could be possible. But of course, they have to shore up the economy. I mean, they have to have two things. Number one, the debt level, which is very high. So they have to be careful not to overstimulate. On the other hand, of course, the economy has slowed down considerably, shows considerable weakness. And we have seen with the prime ratio cut last week that they're serious in trying to support the economy. But if the opening happens, and it's not a question of if, it's actually a question of when, then of course they can pull back on some of these stimulus. But as I said, this is going to take time.
Hans, Doug mentioned at the start there are two main drivers of today's price action. We've talked a bit about China, but I want to talk a little bit about the Fed as well. Jay Powell's signaling, as we kind of expected, there's going to be a downshift in the size of the rate hikes, but they could go on for quite some time. Do you think valuations adequately reflect this?
Actually, I'm afraid they don't, because yes, they will scale down or the pace of rate increases. But all this tightening that we have seen over the past year or so essentially works through the economy with a time lag. And we have not seen the full brunt of that yet. That's yet to come. So it could be anywhere 6 to 18 months out, which means that earnings estimates will come under pressure. So earnings downgrades are almost inevitable at this stage. And if you look at valuations today, based on today's forward earnings, which have not been downgraded yet, we're talking about 17 times earning in the S&P 500. Now, 17 times is not cheap. 15 times would be the average, but in a recession, you could see price earnings going down to 12 times or something like that. And that comes before the earnings downgrade. So there is considerable downside risk in equities. The time lags are extremely important and critical here.
So does that mean that you're favoring fixed income right now? You would avoid equities and look for opportunities in investment grade bonds?
Yes, especially treasury bonds. I mean, if you look at the 10-year, 10-year bonds seem to be, that the yield seems to be topping out simply because inflation rates are starting to come down. I mean, inflation is still high, but the rate of change is becoming less. So this in the long run will, in the medium to long term, will benefit longer dated US treasuries. And if you look at the shape of the yield curve, whenever you had an inversion of this magnitude that we have now, practically every time this happens, bonds outperformed equities by 500 basis points on average over the ensuing 12 months. So on a relative basis, bonds are clearly attractive here, and I would stick to the highest quality. And in fact, if you are very defensive, if you're in capital preservation mode, you can also buy a two-year treasury, which will give you 4.5% yield risk-free. So that's more of a defensive posture here, but I think that's the environment we're in right now.
Yeah, how about your outlook for the dollar as well? We're seeing its retreat today. We're down to 136 against the yen now. Do you see the speed of this of these declines continuing?
I think the dollar probably has peaked against most currencies, and I think notably against Asian currencies, because for Asia, a strong dollar is really a huge headwind, because Asian countries have a lot of debt denominated in dollars. A lot of this debt will come due over the next 12 to 24 months. And with a weaker dollar, the debt servicing costs will be a lot lower. And that will benefit Asia more so than it does Europe. I would imagine that Asian currencies will be the main beneficiary of a weaker dollar. And I think the dollar has probably peaked here.
Some of the inflationary pressure that we've seen is tied to war in Ukraine. Are you maybe willing to go out on a limb? Could we be looking at the end of this conflict in 2023?
Well, I hope for it. I mean, I've been wondering for the past 9 months, ever since this escalation started, what is the end game here? I mean, the West is pledging more weapons to Ukraine, and they seem to be betting on a military victory. And my argument here is that to expect a military solution to this conflict is unrealistic. Neither side is able to win militarily. The risk that we have is that one side starts to lose and the other side starts to escalate even more. And what we're dealing with is a nuclear power. In fact, Russia is the biggest nuclear power on the planet in terms of the number of warheads. And this is a strategy that is a bit scary. What I'm missing here at the moment is even the attempt to start peace talks or negotiations or anything. Everybody still talks about escalation. And that, in a way, is disturbing. So I think we have to get out of this.
Yeah, disturbing indeed. Hans Goethe, founder and CEO at HG Research.